Lecture topic, An Noble Deed, Part 1.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا، والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: وإذا قيل لهم ماذا أنزل ربكم، قالوا أساطير الأولين. ليحملوا أوزارهم كاملة يوم القيامة، ومن أوزار الذين يضلونهم بغير علم، ألا ساء ما يزرون. قد مكر الذين من قبلهم فأتى الله بنيانهم من القواعد، فخر عليهم السقف من فوقهم، وأتاهم العذاب من حيث لا يشعرون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: لتتبعن سنن من كان قبلكم شبرا بشبر، ذراعا بذراع، حتى لو دخلوا جحر ضب لاتبعتموهم. قالوا: اليهود والنصارى يا رسول الله. قال: فمن؟ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is the promise of Allah Ta'ala that He will test every reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. This is the promise of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Allah defines the very nature of man's life in this world. In this ayat, Allah says we have created man in difficulties, in challenges, some way or the other. In fact, in Tibrani, one hadith appears, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna min ibadi, that Allah Himself mentions, Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa saqm. Allah says, there are some servants of mine, only sickness will keep them obligated to me. If I have to cure them, they will forget me. Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa siha, walau asqamtuhu la afsadahu dhalik. And there are some servants of mine, perpetual good health will keep them obedient to me. If I have to test them and put agony on them, they will forget me. إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الْغِنَىٰ وَلَوْ أَفْقَرْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. There are some servants of mine, only affluence and prosperity will keep them obedient to me. If I have to make them taste the agony of poverty and penury, they will forget me. إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الْفَقْرِ. And there are some servants of mine whom only poverty will keep them obligated to me. وَلَوْ بَسَتَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If I have to open the doors of wealth for them, they will rebel against me. إِنِّي أُدَبِّرُ أَمْرَ عِبَادِي بِعِلْمِي بِمَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِنِّي عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah says, I am regulating the matters of the creation and I am deciding. My knowledge is complete and my power is complete. And by virtue of my complete power and my knowledge, I am deciding. أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. Some are prosperous, some are crying. أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. Someone is coming, someone is going. أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى. Some Allah is giving wealth, some Allah is dropping in this dunya. In fact, under the commentary of this ayat, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Where Allah says, we will test you with sickness, adversity, and likewise we will test you with wealth and prosperity. In Ruhul Maani, the quotation of Umar radiallahu anhu appears. He used to say, بُلِينَا بِالذَّرَّى فَصَبَرْنَا وَبُلِينَا بِالصَّرَّى فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. We, that is the group of Sahaba, Allah tested us with both. In the initial stages, Allah tested us with hardship, sickness, poverty, adversity. Safely we can say we survived the test of Allah that came with prosperity, or with sickness. Then came the test of Allah with ease, with affluence, with comfort, with luxury, with prosperity. فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, it was easier to survive the test of difficulty. Wallah, the test that came with affluence, we could not survive it. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Allah says we have created man in difficulties. Be it on a domestic level, be it on a national level, be it on an international level. The very nature of this dunya that Allah has created us, brothers, is a life of challenges and difficulties. As much as a man wants to alleviate the problems of his life, but situations will continue coming. Like in English they say, what cannot be cured must be endured. Today, the second ayat al-kalima that I recited, Allah Rabbul Izzat says, Al-Malu wal-Banuna zinatul hayati dunya. That wealth and sons is but the pride of this world. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا. Some people attach their hopes with wealth, some people attach their hopes with sons. Allah Ta'ala says, the best thing with which any human can have his hopes attached, the best thing in which any man can invest, the best thing in which a man can become ambitious about, which definitely whatever he invests in it will never fail him, is amal. Other than that, Allah says, your sons will fail you, your wealth will fail you, your profession will fail you. In fact, under the commentary of this ayat, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, on the authority of Ubayd ibn Umar, who makes mention of a riwayat of Aisha radiallahu anha, that Baqiyatul Salihat refers to pious daughters. And he says on the day of Qiyamah, in the riwayat, Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that one person, Allah will give the command that he has to be thrown headlong in Jahannam. As this man will be driven toward Jahannam, وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدًا. Allah says the disbelievers, the transgressors, will be driven toward Jahannam like how thirsty cattle are driven towards water. As this man will be taken towards Jahannam, his daughters will run out. And his daughters will grab his hand and they will come and plead before Allah. Nabi alayhi salam says his daughters will implore Allah. Oh Allah, perhaps my father lacked in his duty towards you, but he never lacked in instilling good morals in us. Oh Allah, maybe my father was not a good and a religious Muslim to you, but one thing he maintained in us was chastity, modesty and morality. Nabi alayhi salam says these daughters will insist and persist. There will be those for whom prophets will be interceding. There will be those for whom martyrs will be interceding. How fortunate will be that father, مَنْ عَالَ جَرِيَتَيْنِ حَتَّى تَبْلُغَى جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَنَا وَهُوَ كَهَاتَيْنِ. Nabi alayhi salam says, the intercession of these daughters will be accepted in the favor of their father, and the father will be pardoned on the intercession of his daughters. Allah will tell these daughters, now hold your father and take him in Jannah. Brothers, let it not be that Allah reversed the situation, and Allah tells the daughters Jahannam, and they tell Allah, Allah, if we have to go to Jahannam, then before us more deserving is my father. My father knew the wrong I was involved, but he turned a blind eye to it. So Allah Ta'ala says, the thing in which one can have his hopes attached, which will never fail a person, is amal saliha. And that is what I want to focus in. Many a times today in our life, we find ourselves in a desperate crisis. This is the nature of life. Someone becomes terminally ill. There is some major financial crisis. One youngster in the family is rebelling. At that critical juncture, we try every possible means that is available in the form of dua, in the form of medication, in the form of contact, in the form of ta'weez. On a domestic level, on a national level, and on an international level. Then we are performing qunut-e nazila in our fajr salah. We are adding on a yasin after isha salah. At the critical moment, we are instituting many amal. We learn from the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there's no better way that any man can approach Allah Ta'ala to solve his problem, be it individual or be it collective and universal, other than approaching Allah through the medium of pious action. One is perhaps to rally and march and maybe ask some person of high profile to intercede on behalf of the Muslims and to voice our opinion and say a good word. Relevant to that, the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam comes to mind. Yusuf alayhi salam is sitting in the jail innocently. Two prisoners come. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانَ. And then they stay in the jail for a lengthy period. And finally, both of them have to leave. One is to be crucified and the other one is to be reinstated as the cupbearer of the king and to present wine in the court to the king. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam makes mention to this man, Uzkurni inda rabbik. Do me a favor, you'll be given honor and you are close to the king. Many Muslims view that this is the option of the ummah now, perhaps to approach some dignitaries, some people of high profile, that maybe you can approach this man and put some sense in his brain, put some sense there that he should not invade Iraq and the consequences of a war. So Yusuf alayhi salam mentions to this person, you're going to the king, put in a good word for me and tell him there's one innocent man sitting in the jail, and his only crime was perhaps some advice for our youth, that when the minister's wife intended seducing him and she came in a seductive way, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, and she shut the doors of the palace, وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ, and then she started describing the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Mufti Shafi Zahab rahmatullahi alayhi writes, she then took a piece of cloth and she covered something. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asked her, what are you covering? She says, no, that's my idol, and I don't think it's correct that I commit zina in the presence of my idol. Yusuf alayhi salam cried and he said, my Allah cannot be veiled. Wallah brothers, how sad. And I've mentioned this and I repeatedly say this. If a person cannot get rid of the devil box from his house, then my humble appeal to you is, and to that youngster who is listening to music, honor the name of Allah that is hanging below that mirror. Honor the Ayatul Kursi that you have put on your walls and Yasin on your right and on your left. While nude and immoral and pornographic material is being displayed, it is the height of disrespect that in the presence of such immorality and nudity, the name of Allah is found. Ideally, get rid of that. But if you cannot get rid of that filth, then at least shove the name of Allah to another room. This woman, in her evil, in her vice, in her kufr, also had that amount of respect for a baseless false idol that she felt the need of concealing it before doing wrong. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam runs. And then Allah paves the way. And then this woman says, لَا إِلَّمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَمْ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. If Yusuf will not satisfy my need, I will have him imprisoned. And he will be disgraced. So he cries to Allah and he says, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. Oh my Allah, that jail is more beloved to me, for me to stay there for months, years or decades, than even to entertain or even to endeavor to entertain violating one command of yours. Allah, I am better off in pain than in sin. Oh Allah, I am better off in pain than in sin. Nevertheless, this man comes in the king, in the court. The ulama say, Allah dislike, Mullah Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Allah dislike that Yusuf alayhi salam approached the matter of him being released from the jail through the medium of insan. Allah wasn't happy with this. In the taqweeni system of Allah, Allah made it such that this man forgot, and his forgetting and his negligence resulted in an additional stay of 7 years for Yusuf alayhi salam in the jail. When Yusuf alayhi salam was convinced that this man forgot, and Yusuf alayhi salam took his hope of this man, that now this man cannot avail me, now Allah directly made arrangements for Yusuf alayhi salam to come out. And how did Allah make arrangements? Allah showed the king one vision which snatched all his joy. One dream. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Besides Allah, nobody else knows the army of Allah. Musa alayhi salam is not yet born. Someone has predicted the birth of Musa, which terminates the joy of Firaun. The doctors have not diagnosed cancer. They suspect maybe there's cancer, that man's sleep is gone. One vision, one thought, one speculation is enough to put an end to the empire of a man. A dream, he could ignore it and say, أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ. But when Allah has decided that this is the vision that will cripple your empire, that comes to an end. The king sees a dream. He is now compelled to find an interpreter. Now Allah directly makes arrangements. The man gets desperate to come to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And with honor and dignity he is brought into the court. Friends and elders, the best way that any man can approach any situation, every one of us are going through problems. This is the foolishness of man. This is the foolishness of man, that he says that man has no problem because he doesn't have my problem. That's man's short-sightedness. You got money, by what you know what is poverty? You come to a wife that received you with a smile, ask me what home I come to, my friend, what problems are you talking about? You must be grateful your children are obedient to me. Ask me what it is to have a rebellious child in the house. So this is man's foolishness that he feels, no, your problem is nothing, it's trivial, it's minute, it's insignificant. Each man, go knock the door of any person, each man has a problem and every man's problem is different. The hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which appears in Bukhari Sharif. Very famous. But I want to expound on this hadith and tie it up with our relevant crisis. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Intalaqa salasatum min Bani Israel. Three people in Bani Israel were traveling in a jungle. Hatta awahum al-mabit. The night falls and they decide to take shelter. So they enter into one cave. As they enter into one cave, فَانْحَدَرَتْ صَخْرَةٌ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ فَصَدَّتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْغَارِ. A boulder falls from the top and blocks the mouth of the cave, making their exit impossible. In 1 minute, Allah can change the entire situation. Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, his brothers Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam. When Yaqub alayhi salam sends the brothers, and they go to the king of Egypt to get some corn and grain, least realizing that the king of Egypt is his son. And on the first instance, after Yusuf alayhi salam meets with them, and he says, the next time you come, you bring your other brother, and I will give you an additional camel load. وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٌ ذَلِكَ كَيْلٌ يَسِيرٌ. So they come back to the father, and they tell the father that the king said, until we don't, our brother doesn't accompany us, he will not give us corn and grain. And of course, it is drought, there's famine. So they take Binyamin with, how in minutes Allah can change the situation. Yaqub alayhi salam is reluctant because of the previous incident he had with Yusuf alayhi salam, but in the end he agrees. And they take Binyamin, they come in front of the king, the story is long. Finally the king gives everyone an additional camel load of grain and corn, and then he agrees with his brother that I'm going to use some unpleasant measures where you will be exposed as a thief, by virtue of which I want to keep you here. The brother agrees. The other brothers are unaware of this hidden agenda and secret. Nevertheless, they take their camel load and they all leave. And they all are happy. Happy that we have our brother with us. We promised our father we will bring him back. Our brother is with us. We have a safe. We have an additional camel load of grain, which is more provision for us. Everything is smooth. Man is returning from a holiday, coming back from a wedding, the function went well, the couple are together, the meal was served well, everything worked out, materialized, and they are returning, busy discussing the incident, busy going through the photos of what happened at the wedding. As they are coming and they leave Egypt, ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. As they are on the outskirts, someone comes running out, oh thieves, come back. قالوا وأقبلوا عليهم ماذا تفقدون. They were happy, they were rejoicing. Immediately the other thing is changed. Binyamin is caught guilty of stealing. Binyamin stays behind. The other brother says, I have no face to face my father, I'm also not coming. 10 minutes ago the brothers were happy and joyous and prosperous. Binyamin is caught, the other brother refuses. The brothers don't know how to come back. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salam says, these three people take shelter. The boulder falls and blocks. Allahu Akbar. Now let us analyze our current problem today. One is now to physically start shifting the boulder. Nabi alayhi salam says, none of them touch, nor do they endeavor to shift the boulder. Each one comes forward and he says, La yunjikum min hadhihi illa an tad'u Allah ta'ala bi salihi amalikum. The only way we can make our way out of this cave is that each man now must present some secret amal between him and Allah, and then we ask Allah through the medium of those pious, righteous deeds that we had, which every man had done in the darkness of the night. We contract with Allah and we transact with Allah through the medium of those actions, and we ask Allah to secure. If you and I are traveling and perhaps we are stranded and you need to take out a phone, there'll be many to give you, here, use my phone. There's a need of money, wait, I'll pay for it. Then there's a need for car, wait, my car is available. And if we are stranded and we ask, is there someone to take out some amal? At that time, never mind having amal, the wrong that we do haunts our mind. In the evening, the accident happened. And now we sit and think, Ya Allah, just this morning I disobeyed you. If I knew this was to happen, I wouldn't have done this to you. At the time when we need to rescue ourselves with amal, while the world marches against an empty war, and the heart bleeds for the Palestinian crisis, brothers, if every ummati can take it upon himself and show Allah how sincere he is in the liberation of Aqsa, and perhaps he can abandon that one evil of his in his life for which he has been disobeying Allah for the last few decades. Perhaps for someone it is the abusing of his sight. Perhaps for someone it is not performing Fajr Salah in the masjid. Perhaps for someone it is ill-treating his parents. Each man can reform that major wrong in his life. You know your problem, I know my problem, he knows his problem. Each man can give up that one wrong for which he's been disobeying Allah for years, and then make dua, and then march, and then you see what Allah decides. So the first man comes forward. Everybody is astonished. Let's see what this man. Each man in that group, how fortunate, had certain amals with Allah. There should be in the life of every man certain righteous, pious, silent deeds exclusively between him and Allah, which can rescue you on moments of desperation. Actions which are exclusive to you and Allah, which will help you. That's what I mentioned. Allah says, if you want to attach your hopes not in your money, not in your bank balance, not in your children. Brothers, we see so many times a man has money, but at the time that he needs it, he forgot his wallet. He has his phone, but there's no reception. He has a son, but his son is overseas. All those possible avenues fail him. But amal, look at these people. The first man comes forward and he says, Allahumma innahu kana li abawani shaykhani kabirani wa kuntu la aghbiqu qablahuma ahlan wala mala fana abi talabu shajari yawma. Allah, you know, it looks like you have intended to divulge my secret, my Allah. This was between me and you, but it looks like you want everybody to come to know. The other two companions are listening. Allah, you know, I loved my parents most dearly, most passionately. And it was my noble practice that daily I used to go in the meadows, take my animals for grazing, return in the evening, milk my cows, return with milk, and then present it before my parents. وَكُنْتُ لَا أَغْبِقُ قَبْلَهُمَا أَهْلًا وَلَا مَالًا. Allah, you are my witness that I would never ever present the vessel of milk to my wife nor my children until my parents did not have their share. فَنَعَا بِطَلَبُ الشَّجَرِ يَوْمًا. One day I went in the search of green grass, and I got delayed Allah, and when I returned, both my parents were sleeping. فَكَرِنْتُ أَنْ أُوْقِذَهُمَا. I came back, and I seen my parents were sleeping. I did not feel comfortable to disturb the sleep of my parents, nor was I happy to present the vessel of milk to my wife and my children before my parents had their share. Allah, you are my witness. I stood by the side of my mother, وَالْقَدْحُ فِي يَدِي, with the vessel of milk in my hand. وَالصِّبْغَةُ يَتَغَاذَوْنَ عِنْدَ قَدْمَيَّ. Allah, my children were yelling and crying at my feet. My wife was nagging me, but I didn't have the courage to present that vessel of milk, nor to my wife, nor to my children, until my parents did not have their share. I stood there, Allah, حَتَّى بَرِقَ الْفَجْرُ, until the flush of dawn. Today's young man abandons his mother. Why? Because his wife is nagging to go shopping. وَالصِّبْغَةُ يَتَغَاذَوْنَ عِنْدَ قَدَمَيَّ. Understand the nature of the amal that he has done, by virtue of which it enhances and empowers and enriches the strength, by virtue of which he can implore Allah and intercede to Allah. You and I want Allah to give the ummah honor, and the medium of the action that we're asking is, Allah, Allah, yesterday I gave a beggar 50 cents. Through the medium of the sadaqah, Allah. Indeed, Allah accepts everything. But brothers, what relation does it have in context to what we are asking Allah? What is my contribution? وَالصِّبْغَةُ Allah, my children. It's easier for a man to stay hungry. Wallah, it's very difficult to see your children hungry. The most difficult thing. That is why in Sirat Ibrahim, Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi writes, on the occasion of Qurbani, if Allah had to tell Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, slaughter yourself, in other words, commit suicide, then this would have been much easier for Ibrahim alayhi salam to do. وَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنِقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَوْ اِخْرُجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Because if the command of Allah was to slaughter yourself, then it is only painful while you are committing suicide. At the time you are killing yourself, that is the time it's painful. But the command of Allah for you to slaughter your son, wallah, it is painful from the time that injunction comes to you, not till the time you slaughter that child, but as long as you live, that is a nightmare for you. Perhaps the most supreme sacrifice that Allah could take from any human was taken from Ibrahim at this juncture. Allah did not say slaughter yourself, Allah said slaughter your son. The pain and the agony does not end at the slaughtering, but it continues. A man that loses his child in a natural way by the decree of Allah cannot forget the memories of that child as long as he lives. How can that man who slaughters his child ever forget that child? And at which age? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. The Quran says when Ismail was at the age of running Saif al-Jalalain, right, he was 7 years. When the child is born, then attachment is more with the mother. And when he's 6 and 7, then he's running more to the father. And after it, if Allah gives him hidayat, then he will be attached to his parents, otherwise he abandons them. I was just mentioning, I went to UK now 2 weeks ago. There was a youth conference. And alhamdulillah, it was well attended. Approximately 7,000 youth came. I spoke about two things. I addressed the youth and I spoke about two things. The pertinent difference and the significant difference between a youth coming from an Islamic background and a youth coming from an academic background. The youth coming from a secular and an academic background is constantly reminded of his rights and his honor. By the age of 15, you demand this. This is your right. 16, this is your democratic right. At 17, you're entitled to this. By 14, it is your choice. You must be vocal. You make yourself heard. Your father can't deny you this. Your mother can't deny you this. So he comes home demanding his rights. Why, he's constantly been taught, this is what you owe me. I'm entitled to this. It's my right. I'm at liberty. And a child in an Islamic environment is taught, this is the duty you owe to your mother. This is the duty you owe to your father. This is what you owe to your brother. This is what you owe to your father. Ridha Rabbu fi ridha al-walid. You see, that's your father, my friend. As long as he's happy, Allah is happy. You see, your mother beneath her feet is Jannat. You see, your sister, if you are kind to Allah, will give you this. He's not reminded of his rights. He's reminded of the rights of the people around him. There is the difference. He is taught, al-barakatu ma'a abkabirikum. Oh my boy, you will prosper in life as long as you consult with your seniors. And as much as you prosper, your seniors remain your seniors. You are junior before your father and your satiba. Oh Allah, you are my witness. وَالصِّبْغَةُ يَتَغَادَوْنَ عِنْدَ قَدَمَيَّ. The children were yelling at my feet. My wife was nagging. Allah Islam says in the riwayat of Tirmidhi, among the signs of Qiyamah, وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ وَعَقَّ أُمَّهُ. A man will become obedient to his wife at the cost of the displeasure of his mother. Friends and elders, yesterday I was speaking in Jummah. And I spoke about the need of having a healthy marriage, the need of having a healthy matrimonial relation in the midst of such nudity that we have been exposed to, where zina and fornication is becoming more and more appealing by the day, if not by the hour. And for some words of advice and some food for thought for our mothers and sisters, the riwayat appears in Bukhari Sharif. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, the wife of Abu Talha, there is a sick son at home. When that marriage will have taqwa in it, then marriage has the potential of supporting the marriage, and nikah has the potential of giving solace, support to either of the spouse, and to overcome not only financial problems, but like we learn in this incident, where the janazah of the son is lying in the house, but by virtue of an obedient wife, that marriage remains intact and cemented. There is a sick child at home. The son is critically ill. The riwayat is in Bukhari Sharif. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu goes out. In the process, Allah's doing, the child passes away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anha, Allahu Akbar, a woman with such foresight, such intellect, such maturity, wallah, with unparalleled in human history. She arranges for the ghusl of her child, she arranges for the kafan of her child, and she tells the family members, لا تحدث أبا طلحة حتى أكون أنا. When my husband comes home, I don't want anybody to tell him that my child has passed away. You leave it to me. I'm the mother, he's the father, it's our child. Inshallah, I will handle it in an adequate way and I will approach the situation as my Allah wants. Which woman is there today that can receive and accept this situation with such understanding, such foresight? Abu Talha radiallahu anhu comes home. He's the father after all. How is my son? First question. Allahu Akbar. The woman uses an ambiguous term. Huwa askanu mimma kan. He is more peaceful than what he was. Allahu Akbar. Perhaps in my house, if the stove is broken, the phone will be ringing at the office. If the domestic servant doesn't pitch up, there's no food, just buy takeaways and come. Janaza lying in that house, you can't tell me that woman is not crying. She is a mother. The love of a mother is unique. When Allah speaks about His love for the creation, Allah says, I love you more than your mother has loved. Allah likens His love to be more in relation to the love of the mother and not the father. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returns from Mount Tur and he finds his nation involved in worshipping the calf, and then he admonishes his brother Harun. Harun alayhi salam was senior to Musa in age, but Musa alayhi salam was senior in knowledge. He was 2 years elder. Like one sahabi was asked, are you older or is Nabi alayhi salam older? He said, huwa akbaru minni wa ana asannu minhu. I am older than Nabi alayhi salam, but he is elder than me. I am older, but he is elder. Musa alayhi salam grabs Harun alayhi salam. And then he admonishes him. قَالَ يَبْنَ أُمَّ لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَأْسِي إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. Harun alayhi salam then implores his brother. And he says, oh, the son of my mother. He doesn't say, oh, the son of my father. Oh, my brother. He says, oh, the son of my mother. The ulama say the wisdom of this was, when he gave the wasta of his mother, it meant sympathy. Mother means kindness. Mother means sympathy. Mother means compassion. Our mothers are listening. They know what they experience in giving birth to a child. Wallah, before studying Quran, I always used to think, and perhaps many of us think, that women generally harp on this. For 9 months I kept you in my stomach. 9 months you stayed here. And many a times the statement of my mother, Allah forgive me, used to seem to me monotonous. That, you know, it's carrying on and she's repeating it. After Allah gave me the tawfiq to study the Quran, I have safely come to the conclusion without fear of contradiction, whether your mother is harping on her pregnancy with you or not, Allah is harping on it. Whether she stresses it or not, Allah is stressing it. Whether she reminds you or not, Allah is reminding you. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. Allah says the mother carried him pain upon pain, weakness upon weakness. And you grow up and you use that very ability that Allah has given you against this mother. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah says, I created you from a filthy fluid. You knew nothing. And when I gave you knowledge, then you applied your logic against me. قَالَ يَبْنَ أُمَّ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about his mother. Mother means sympathy. So Abu Talha radiallahu anhu comes home. How is the son? He is more peaceful than what he was. Now, Allahu Akbar. Wallah, we call upon the women of today to cherish their motherhood. If a woman wants to display the object of her nikah, then you will agree with me as I tell you what Umm Sulaym has done. There will be no place for her in the marketplace. There will be no room for her to come in the commercial world. That one man who goes out, not by choice, but definitely he has to go to earn. He is vulnerable enough to evil. We don't need to throw this woman in the deep end. Her honor is enough. The world is too evil. We go out because we have to. We cannot risk the honor of that woman who has become so valueless in the Western world that to promote anything from a toothpick to a truck tire is put with the picture of a woman. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha says, "Huwa askanu mimma kan." Allahu Akbar. Look at how this woman receives her husband. If a woman receives her husband with the correct zeal, Allah's Qasam, she has the potential of putting an end to the tension and the pressure of that man instantly. He takes it and interprets it positively, he is more peaceful. That means symptoms of recovery. قَدَّمَتْ إِلَيْهِ الْعَشَاءِ This woman, Allahu Akbar, she understands my husband is tired, he is hungry, he is worried about his son. This is not the time for me to now start complaining. She arranges for that. Allah alone knows the clash of emotions in the heart of this woman. Nabi alayhi salam says in the riwayat of Bukhari, she entertains her husband and she presents the platter of food. Come and eat. Food has been prepared. Food has been cooked at this critical juncture. One woman loses her son in one battle. She comes outside veiling herself. She asks the Sahaba, where has my son been martyred? And how he has been martyred? Someone tells her, oh sister, perhaps you will be excused from screening yourself and veiling yourself when such a catastrophe has fallen upon you at the death of your son. I think it would be correct for you. You don't have to maintain such stringent parda rules by veiling yourself. She politely declines and she says, my brother, I have lost my son. I don't need to lose my modesty. I don't need to lose my modesty. On the occasion of janazah, we forget about the commandments of Allah. Now we greet in and shake in and embrace in strange people who are not mahram to us. One is the occasion of wedding. There we are disobeying Allah in every way. I'm talking of the occasion of janazah. This woman says, I have lost my son, I don't need to lose my modesty. Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu eats from the meal. He's saturated. ثُمَّ تَزَيَّنَتْ نَفْسَهَا Allahu Akbar. Then she adorns herself. My husband is a man amongst men. Allah has instilled a need in him like any other human. The fundamental object of nikah is so that I can satisfy the need of my man, of my husband, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا His mind can be at ease. Wallahi, if a woman decorates herself and adorns herself so that her husband and her both can remain chaste and there can be fidelity in that marriage, in the light of Quran and Hadith, we can safely say Allah will give her more reward than nafal salah. But she is abusing this opportunity. Instead of capitalizing on it, she is using a sweet tone and beautiful dressing for strange men. So this is taking her away from Allah. If she beautifies herself, imagine this woman. You show me one woman in the entire dunya that can present the like of Umm Sulaym. The janazah of her son is lying in that house. Food has been presented to that husband. It is for this woman that the Nabi of Allah says, Al-mar'atu idha sallat khamsaha, wa saamat shahraha, wa ata'at ba'laha, faltadkhul min ayyi abwaabil jannati sha'at. It is for this mother and this sister that the Nabi of Allah says, perhaps if you have fasted in Ramadan, then the door of Rayyan is open for you. If you have discharged your zakat, Nabi alayhi salam says there is one door for you. But the Nabi of Allah says, for this woman there isn't one door. Wallah, there are 8 doors of Jannat awaiting her arrival. Not one door, there are 8 doors for her. Let Umm Sulaym come to me. But of course, for a woman to dedicate herself to this, and for her to achieve the objectives of her nikah, it will mean her giving up some of those things which have taken up her quality time, which hold no merit in the eyes of Allah. So she will have to fuss less about her house, her cutlery, her garden, so that her quality time can be spent prepared when her husband comes home to receive him with a clean house, with a smile, dressed up. The Nabi of Allah, when he returns from jihad, he never returns in the night. He encamps outside Medina, sends one boy to Medina, tell all the women of Medina, لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِتَ الشَّقِثَ وَتَسْتَحِدُّ الْمَغِيبَ Tell the women that are at home, whose hair is disheveled and who are shabby, tell them the husband is returning from the path of Allah. The riwayat of Nabi alayhi salam, sends one boy, tell them to prepare themselves, beautify themselves, adorn themselves. Let it not be that their husband comes home and finds them in a position that they are not striking and appealing to satisfy the eye of their husband. Who said Islam discourages a woman to dress beautiful? Yes, Islam says in the confines of your house, Ya ukhti, la tarfa'i anki al-khimara fatandami, suni jamalaki in aratti karama. Oh my sister, don't unveil yourself if you want the honor of akhirat. Keep that beauty exclusively to your partner. She then decorates herself. Allahu Akbar. And naturally, like any other man, he approaches his wife. Because now look at this year, when one woman has understood the object of her nikah, how by virtue of this year, Allah gives them both courage and they both take support from one another. And wallah, when there isn't this mutual understanding, then financial problems are enough to divorce a couple. She beautifies herself. Relation takes place. فَلَمَّا رَأَتْ أَنْ شَبِعَ When Umm Sulaim seen that my husband's need has been catered for, my husband's tiredness has been taken away. He has eaten, he's saturated, and each woman knows when the need of a husband is over. She had sensed that the physical need of my husband has been catered for. Now my husband is in a sober mind. I can speak to him. Maybe if the woman will receive their husbands with desperate, and then they'll complain, they will be an attentive ear to listen. There will be someone. Now she says, oh my husband, can I talk to you? Which husband, brothers, in all honesty, won't listen to his wife after she has received him like this? Every husband will be ready, prepared. She says, my husband, I want to ask you a question. أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ أَنَّ قَوْمًا أَعَارُوا عَارِيَتَهُمْ Tell me, if someone borrows you an article for a period of time, for 1 week, and after the period lapses, they come to claim that article back, do you have the right to deny? He says, no, I don't have the right, but what's the context? What's the relevance? What are you getting to? She then pets him and embraces him, and she says, فَحْتَسِبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ Our child was a gift from Allah. Allah borrowed it, Allah has taken him back. Immediately they embrace one another. And now what she was keeping herself in. The Quran speaks about Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ Kazim means, kazama literally means to restrain, to subdue. Yaqub alayhi salam's pain over the loss of his son was at its pinnacle. And as high as his pain was, equally to that, he was containing himself. Now sometimes you tell a man, cry it out. Wallah, in today's time, if you can only have a sympathetic ear to listen to the problems of the ummah, Allah will reward you. If you can't help the man, just listen to his problem. Listen to him, identify his problem, say some good words. Man azza sakla. Nabi alayhi salam says, if you console a man in difficulty, he'll be going through the difficulty, but the same reward Allah will give you. Man has a problem, he's going to listen to him, console him, make yourself available. He embraces his wife, there's crying, and then he tells her, oh my beloved, you leave me until hatta talattakhtu, I sink and I drown in my lust, and the janaza of my son is lying in the house. She embraces him and she consoles him, and both take support from one another, and immediately he runs to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. This is now where there is taqwa in this marriage, where each spouse is playing their role. He comes in the company of Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, my son has passed away. A'arrastumul layla. Nabi alayhi salam consoles him, makes dua, and then Nabi alayhi salam just asks one question. Did you have relation last night? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Barakallahu fi laylatikuma. Mubarak, Allah has taken this child, and in your relation conception also took place, Allah is sending another soldier. If Allah has taken one in last night, Mubarak, Barakat conception has taken place. Uyayna ibn Hisan, who is the narrator of the hadith, says, this child who passed away also I seen, and the child who was conceived on that night of the janaza of the first son, he was born, and I seen him grow up, he became a father, Allah blessed him with 9 sons, everyone of whom was an hafiz and alim of deen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.